Tatsächlich ist es so, dass wir jetzt.
The reality is that we now have massive loss and damage, because for the last 30 years, industrial nations have shirked their responsibility to reduce emissions.
So says Leanna Shelatek of the Heinrich Böll Foundation in Washington. The climate crisis is real. The reasons for it are well known. But what is often forgotten is that the consequences of the climate crisis largely fall on those who have done the least to cause it. Losses and damages caused by climate change occur to varying degrees around the world. Central America, for example, is only responsible for a small proportion of greenhouse gas emissions. But at the same time, it is very strongly affected by loss and damage, i.e. the loss of and damage to infrastructure, livelihoods, culture, and biodiversity caused by the climate crisis. These include damages caused by rising sea levels, as well as by more frequent and extreme weather events, such as floods, hurricanes, and tropical cyclones. That's what we'll be talking about in today's episode. We'll look at examples and experiences specifically from Central America. We'll let people from the region have their say and hear what political measures they would like to be put in place in order to better respond financially to climate-related loss and damage. We'll be joined by Leanna Shelatek from our office in Washington, Ingrid Hausinger from our office in El Salvador, and by Adrian Martinez Blanco from the NGO La Ruta del Clima in Costa Rica. I'm Kevin Caners, and you are listening to a Böll Spotlight. Last June, the United Nations Climate Change Conference took place in Bonn. Around 6,000 politicians, diplomats, and scientists took part in the event, which acted as a preparatory meeting for the annual World Climate Summit, or COP, which this year will take place in Azerbaijan in November. All countries of the world that have signed the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change will meet there. In other words, those states that recognize climate change as a serious problem and are committed to taking action. One topic at the conference in Bonn was a newly created fund to collect money for loss and damage caused by extreme weather events such as droughts, floods, or rising sea levels that are taking place as a result of the climate crisis.
It's just a general principle of law. International law, civil law, national law, international environmental law, human rights law. If you go to law school, you face this. If you break it, you pay it. It's simple.
Adrian Martinez Blanco works for La Ruta del Clima from the Central American country of Costa Rica. He complains that even though industrialized nations are obviously mainly to blame for climate change, they are still not taking sufficient responsibility and are not even complying with existing agreements. This is fundamentally an injustice. After all, as Adrian explained to us in an interview, it is the global north that is responsible for the vast majority of global greenhouse gas emissions.
And here, the developed countries are not being honest with their own populations. The reality is that industry in developed countries, including in Germany, have used a lot of carbon that did not rightfully belong to them. And that is quantified in terms of energy and money. But it is the people in less developed countries who suffer the damage, especially in places like Central America and the Pacific Islands.
In fact, countries such as Panama, Costa Rica, and Guatemala in Central America produce a negligible share of the world's greenhouse gas emissions. But it's precisely there that the consequences of global warming are being felt the most. That's according to Ingrid Hausinger from El Salvador.
In Central America, most of the land is covered by a region called the Dry Corridor. Already in this corridor, there is too little rainfall during the maize and bean harvests, which is the basis for feeding the population. And this is an area where 10 million people live, the vast majority of whom are indigenous people living below the poverty line. Last year, already this region had an average temperature increase of 1.6 degrees, and it is estimated that rainfall will decrease by up to 40% in the next 5 years.
Drought, lack of access to fresh water, extreme weather. Honduras and Guatemala are particularly hard hit by the consequences of climate change. In some regions, up to 70% of all children are chronically malnourished, reports Hausinger.
The entire coastal zone in Central America cannot be forgotten either. Coastal communities depend on fishing, which is currently being affected by the highest temperatures ever documented in the oceans. They are losing shell shrimp crops, which are often the livelihood of women in the Caribbean as well.
Adrian Martinez Blanco is familiar with these problems. Throughout the Central American Caribbean, from the Mexican peninsula of Yucatan to Colombia, there are major problems caused by coastal erosion. He describes a case from Panama.
There is the example of Gunayala, where an indigenous people who lived on an island are being relocated, in part due to rising sea levels and coastal erosion.
Environmental experts agree that action must be taken. But recently, many governments in the region have neglected environmental protection issues and climate policy. Non-governmental organizations are also increasingly being restricted in their work. The Central American Office of the Heinrich Böll Foundation, where Ingrid Hausinger is a program director for ecology, is active in Costa Rica, Honduras, Nicaragua, Guatemala, and El Salvador.
There has been a clear deterioration, especially in Nicaragua, where almost 4,000 civil society organizations have been closed since 2018. These include foundations and organizations that work directly on community resilience or climate data collection, and others that take part in the major conferences and represent the needs and positions of people from the affected areas.
Some organizations that had to leave Nicaragua are continuing to do their work from exile. But Hausinger also sees setbacks in other countries, especially in El Salvador. Politics is often only about increasing foreign investment in mining, the construction industry, or the agricultural sector. But this usually leads to even more environmental destruction and does not improve the quality of life of the inhabitants in the long term. What's more is that those who stand up for the environment often find themselves in danger as a result.
Honduras continues to be the second most dangerous country in Latin America for environmental activists. This year alone, four activists from the Lenca tribe, to which the well-known murdered environmental activist Berta Cáceres belonged, were murdered there for defending a river. And this, despite the fact that the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights had taken special measures to protect them. It's not even possible to protect the lives of environmental activists in this way. And it's similar everywhere in Central America.
Even in Costa Rica, a country that was long regarded as a pioneer in climate policy, there are setbacks. That's according to both Ingrid Hausinger and Adrian Martinez Blanco. Martinez Blanco works in five countries in the region with the Böll partner organization La Ruta del Clima. The organization investigates the effectiveness of climate policy, but also carries out important grassroots work in cooperation with indigenous communities and other local actors.
We try to generate data in order to substantiate what local communities tell us. We work with the communities, building the capabilities so that they can have a voice. Not only so that they can fight for justice and make demands at a political level, but also so that they can decide for themselves how projects should be implemented in their region.
This is a particularly important point in the implementation of international climate agreements, and it usually comes down to money. Liana Shalitek is deputy director of the Heinrich Böll Foundation in Washington and an expert on global climate policy and climate financing. She has a clear understanding of what should be at the forefront when it comes to distributing project funds and how the new loss and damage fund can do better.
One possibility, for example, is to implement small-scale financing via grants directly to communities, affected groups, indigenous people and women. There's potential for us to make further progress with this.
Shalitek is well aware of the future problems that will be caused by the climate crisis.
There are now estimates that up to $400 billion in loss and damage will be incurred by 2030.
And how is this to be financed? Adrian Martinez Blanco is adamant about what he said at the Bonn Climate Conference. Whoever causes the damage must pay for it. And not with loans, but rather in the form of direct compensation. And this is exactly what the newly established International Fund is all about. From this pot, the particularly vulnerable countries of the Global South are to receive money to compensate for or to mitigate against damages caused by climate change. The Loss and Damage Fund provides detailed financing in the form of grants directly to affected communities in the Global South. The main contributors to the fund are to be those countries who have been the biggest drivers of climate change. There has already been 700 million euros of pledges for the fund, which was set up by the World Bank. The fund is also an official part of the Framework Convention on Climate Change. The fund represents a vital step in international climate cooperation. However, Liana Szeletek also sees its shortcomings.
It is clear that from the perspective of justice, climate justice, reparations and equalization, many of the expectations placed on the fund from outside cannot be fulfilled. What can be done, however, is to try to fight, with the help from pressure from civil society, for the best possible structures, with the understanding that human rights must be integrated and a focus on gender equality as well.
To deal with these issues, a new subcommittee on international climate and energy policy has been set up within the Bundestag's Foreign Affairs Committee. Szeletek considers this to be a very important development, because it means that all MPs can be reached directly and provided with information, which is essential, since, after all, they are the ones who will have to approve the funds. After the climate conference, Liana Szeletek and Adrian Martinez Blanco were able to address the subcommittee in Berlin about the structure of the Loss and Damage Fund, and their message was clear.
Although Germany made 100 million in pledges last year, which was very helpful, this is of course nowhere near enough if we put this in the context that Germany is still subsidizing fossil fuels to the tune of 20 billion a year.
At the COP climate conference in November in Azerbaijan's capital, Baku, the aim is now to incorporate funding for the Loss and Damage Fund as part of a new climate financing goal. This is because the fund's financing must be secured in order to be able to provide efficient aid, particularly in regions such as Central America. This was an episode of Bull Spotlight. You can subscribe to the series and all other Bull Foundation podcasts on the podcast app of your choice. For feedback and criticism, please send us an email to podcasts@bull.de. That's podcasts@BOELL.de. And feel free to recommend us to others. My name is Kevin Kainers, and the producer of this Bull Spotlight was Victor Coco. This podcast is a production of the Audio Collective.